the show. And today's guest is Jane Pooley. How are you going, Jane?
Great, thanks, Peter. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show. You're an experiencer. You're sort of known amongst the circles as somebody that's, you know, talks about having hybrid children. I just went into this lightly before the show with you that there's, you know, a similar thing with me. But it's great that you've got a book coming out soon, because as I said to you, I've had a lot of women come to me about, you know, their experiences. They're all of a sudden pregnant, then they're not. The doctors can't explain it. This is something where I love covering stuff like this, because as I said, it helps people. And being a woman yourself that's an experiencer and being able to come at it with this perspective and you've lived through it, I think a lot of females and some of the researchers in that are going to find this very much beneficial to hear it from, you know, your side, somebody that's lived through this. So would you mind sort of giving everyone just sort of a brief overview of who you are, if you can go into, you know, what you can?
Sure. Well, that's my purpose as well, to help other people that have gone through the same experience. I have at times found it traumatic, though it's overall a positive experience. I found the greys to be very warm and friendly, and I've had the one caseworker my entire life through abductions. So that has helped a lot. I have a good relationship with this grey man. And yes, I have hybrid children. I've kept it quiet. I'm now in my 50s, and I've kept it quiet because I didn't know other people had been through the same thing. That would be number one. And I now realise that they have. So I want to get out there and help other women that have been through the same experiences. My own healing came from just acknowledging the truth, because it's much easier to tell the truth than to hide something, I think, anyway. So my very first memory was as a baby in a cot. So I remember I've had this repeated dream all of my life of standing up in a white cot as a toddler and seeing this big face above me with these eyes that I'd call cow eyes. And I remember quite clearly putting up my arms and willingly going with him and him saying to me, "I am like your grandfather, little one." He used to call me little one. Clearly I'm not little anymore. So the same man came every time. And yes, they're abductions. Yes, they're experiences. But I didn't feel violated. They did result in pregnancies that I would have chosen not to give up. And I did go through the normal grief after those things. But having met the children and seen as they're growing up that they're well brought up and well cared for, I certainly feel much better about that. So the end of my story is the beginning of my story. I chucked a giant tanty in my head and said, "Graham," because that's what I call him. "I've had this. You've created all these situations that I have to deal with. I want to meet these children." And I was really quite demanding. And then it basically all came out. So he did, in fact, come and consciously take me to a massive mothership and show me around their culture and why they did these things and what was going on. So, yeah, this great big catalyst of an experience was what made me think it's really time to admit to the whole thing. Otherwise, I'm denying my own children's existence. Mm-hmm. And I like to explain it the way it used to be between black and white people. And if a white man had a baby with a black woman and that child was a half caste, God forbid, it was shunned from society. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think this is any different, because I see this particular race of aliens as being very human-like. And I say race, not species, intentionally. In a lot of things, they have a different culture and different means of communicating and different discoveries, but they're still terribly similar to human beings on this planet. So what I found out while I was up on this mothership, which if I just go on a tangent, I chucked the tanty in my head one day and then I went to sleep for two nights, and the second night it happened. And then I woke up, I was gone for 15 hours. So, because I looked at the clock when I left and when I got back. Normally I couldn't tell you exactly that, but this experience I could. I have full recall and I didn't feel, they actually hypnotise you in some way. Well, they certainly gave me something to stop me being space sick on the visit, because I came back vomiting and I always come back vomiting. But I woke up, immediately knew where I'd been, what had happened. And I must have suddenly appeared on my bed because my cat just freaked out and jumped off me. There's lots of funny things in this story. So, and that was a wholly positive experience. And that is the first time I recall consciously, everything else has been a bit like a dream, actually meeting and hugging my hybrid children. They've all got names, your human names, because I was fully aware of what was going on at the time, but I didn't remember seeing them. Graham, my grey man caseworker, says that I did meet them many times. I don't remember, but I remember enough to write a book. So there's still a lot that I do recall. On that note, the book's called Humalian, and I've got a copyright on it, and it's well on its way.
I just wanted to add also that you call Graham, is it G-R-E-Y? So like Grey, the alien with the A-M on the end?
Yep.
I thought that was friggin' it's hilarious, and I get it because these beings do have a sense of humour, which people think, you know, they tend to not think so. They don't. And this is where you have to sort of take the piss out of ourselves with this, because if you don't, you go friggin' insane with what you go through. You've got to sort of have that, you know, you've got to laugh about these things sometimes.
Well, it's more than you've got to laugh about it. Yes, you do. I might add I'm a long-time emergency nurse, not currently working, but with a lot of experience. And that's the way we cope with traumatic events. We go out in the tea room and we laugh at the most ridiculous things. And I know the police do, the police do similar things. So it works for me. But it is actually funny. There are so many funny things about this. I can see this conversation is going to be all over the shop, but let's just go with whatever.
Well, this is how it is. Just firstly, can I ask you, there are many different races of, you know, what people term greys out there. I've interacted with some of the ones that are like a whitish ash colour. Some of them have been brown. There has been some of the grey ones. Can you sort of give us like just a quick overview of what grey man looks like in terms of, you know, is he actually more grey? Is he white? You know, what's little specifics like that and sort of size if you can.
All right. Well, when I was a baby, I had to look up, and I think I'm not great at judging distances, and I'm 5'8" myself. So I think he's about 5'6". Okay, his skin colour is not grey, it's pasty. It looks to me like he hasn't got enough oxygen, frankly, or he's a bit sick, or he's vegetarian. So that's his colour. It still looks like skin, but it's just...
Is it a bit like dolphin?
Well, I've heard that and I've been asked that many times. Not really. It's much paler. Yeah. Maybe a little bit. To me, it feels more like a mushroom if you touch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's much...
Even like carrots.
Yeah, because Graham's old. Yeah. So I'd say the younger one's more like mushrooms and the older one's more like carrots.
Yeah, yeah. No, these are just little things I've played up with in my head. So, yeah, please carry on.
Well, I've thought a lot about how to describe this in my book and when people have asked me. So I have put a lot of thought into it. And it's not easy because it doesn't match the experiences on our planet that our language is designed to describe. So I can be articulate, but I struggle to find the right adjectives. Anyway, so he's very thin and spindly. I've drawn his hand, you probably saw that on Facebook, on top of mine, just to show you the proportions. I just traced around my own, so that's exactly mine. And it's I think that they've got an extra joint. I think it's that much longer than ours, and they're much thinner, and they don't have a little finger. So, but they're still hands. I've seen drawings of them, and they're not as long as they are in the drawings. Like, I've seen exaggerated drawings. To me, that's about the length of them. So I have, when it comes to scenes, a photographic memory. I tend to remember every last detail in the room, everything anybody said. It's quite bizarre, really. And my observational skills were probably honed with my nursing. So that's why if he came into my emergency department, I would want to put an oxygen mask on him. And I probably think he was about to vomit. There you are, I'd be those colours. So it's more that than grey. Yeah, he's grey, but it's not the dolphin grey.
Yeah.
Okay, this particular alien, I had met a lot, has no hair, and his head has kind of bumps at the back. So it's a little bit squared at the back and a terribly pointy chin. I say terribly, I think I changed it to beautifully pointy chin. I really think that he is a very beautiful looking man, and I don't want to say alien or creature, I want to say man. He's an old man, and he would be well, there's a punchline which is he turns out to be my grandfather. He has actually donated his DNA. As I said, I'll have to be all over the shop, it doesn't matter. So to say to me he's like my grandfather being the first words I remember. Yes, he is like my grandfather. He didn't have a relationship with my grandmother. I wasn't born through sex, but it is his DNA spliced in mine. I was born the normal way. I have a human mother and father. Yeah. But at 6 to 8 weeks, they remove the fetus and splice in alien DNA and then reinsert it. And then they inject a hormone into the side of the uterus. I'm sorry, it's a bit explicit for you, being a bloke.
No, it's fine. It won't surprise the listeners, so it's all right.
And they inject something into the side of my uterus when they reimplant the fetus. And then it's basically got three parents. Now, my eldest child is 31. And so I knew about DNA 31 years ago when they explained it all to me. But we only discovered DNA really in the 90s that only came out. So they're just further ahead than us, but that's all it is. Anyway, so then the baby goes along in the usual way, and then they check on you again every few months. And each time I was checked on, I remembered being sucked up in a light out of my bed, up through the ceiling. I didn't change. Everything around me changed, but I could still see solid roof beams. If I looked back down, I could see the bed where I came from. It was like a light elevator, but it had no rigid sides. There was no light in the middle other than what was reflecting from the sides. So it was hollow in the center. And the light behaved in a way I've never seen behave on Earth. It was like dashes with gaps in it. Now, again, when I first recalled this, we hadn't discovered fiber optics. And I remember being taught at school that light couldn't go around corners. So it was way beyond us, but it's not so strange now. We do have fiber optics. We can do this by bending light through tunnels and cords. But at this time, it wasn't discovered. So it's like I knew all this ahead, and it wasn't prophecy or precognition. I was just seeing it already made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was. Sorry,
when you were being pulled, did you feel like when you were going, because I've had similar experiences, but did you feel when you were going through, just say, the roof, for example, could you feel that you were going through the molecular structure of what was made up, or it was just going through it and you're looking down and, that's it?
No, I couldn't go through it. And there are other experiences that I can explain, like coming back through a door while it was locked. No, I felt maybe. Because I'm psychic and I felt like I walked through a ghost, but that was about all.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, no, I sort of asked, that's all. No, but please continue.
I have to think about that one. But I remember bizarre things, like I saw a cockroach in the ceiling. Gross, I hate cockroaches. And I could see the roof beams solid. So I think it changed, not me.
Yep.
And what it feels like going up is the same in reverse. When I come back down, I feel like I'm stepping into water and floating back through water. I'm not in water, but it's that density and that speed, I suppose, if I just stepped into a pool and gone down. So I think they have something different to solid liquid gas, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, again, it's just further down the track, whatever they're using to do it. When we're talking about technology where they're able to pull the fetus out and do whatever, then put it back in, we're talking again about a level of physics and technology where this is, to them, this is easy, but to us, we're like, how do you guys do it? So, this is something we're still trying to work out on a body computer level, but it's just second nature to them, guys.
You're spot on. It's just second nature. It's just advanced technology. Do you mind me drinking my tea?
No, that's fine. Have they said to you at all this, Graham, has he described to you where he's from at all? Like, I know that some of these beings are from other star systems, and then some are from different realms on those star systems, and then some go to areas we've got no friggin' idea. We can't fathom it, but has he sort of given you any information?
Yes, only because of my tanty when I went up to the mothership. I had all these demanding questions. Okay, so yes, he has. He told me when I asked that they lived on this giant mothership. Tangent, but it's important. After I went on this 15-hour visit, the next day, or maybe 24 hours later, in my email inbox appeared a picture of a massive mothership, and I knew straight away that that's the one I'd been on. Having said that, there was no return address because I tried to find out where it came from, And then 3 days later, it turned up on the internet as being taken by the International Space Station hovering over Earth. I swear that's the one I was in. And I know that they sent it to me, technologically, not psychically, even though I believe that too. So I'm really sure. Like I always get, you go through just an instant of self-doubt, but it's more about not expecting other people to believe you. I know it's true. But then something always turns up that's proof. Okay, another example is after a visit, I'll see three owls in 3 weeks. Or, you know, the cat jumps off the bed or somebody notices I was missing. Or, you know, there's always something that says, no, not your imagination, kiddo. So I get these signs. So anyway, so back to the babies. So where was I? They take the baby out at 6 to 8 weeks and splice it. And this is on the mothership, and I'll answer your question with that. And then they go, they take you again in about 12 weeks and then one more time. And it feels exactly like a gynecological examination. Again, I don't feel violated. I feel like they're doctors or nurses or something. When I go up there, they wave their hand over my stomach, and in the air floats what can only be now called a hologram, but I didn't know what to call it 31 years ago, a picture in the air of my insides, including the fetus. I have still never seen a scan on Earth even close. It's what it is. It's a scan. They have some sort of digital something, microchip perhaps, in their palm that causes them to be able to do this. It's not magic.
Yeah.
It's a scan, but it's incredible. And you actually see the baby as if you're physically in there with it. So it's really cool. And at 12 weeks, they decide whether you can keep it or whether it has to go up to them. So that's why these women lose their babies between 8 weeks and, well, I've had one 5 months, but I think most are around 12 weeks. Then they can see a formed fetus and decide if it's going to look human enough or if it's going to look too grey and not cope here. So my first child, and God forbid the world's about to hear this, I got to bring back. There are a lot of physical attributes about that boy, and he's super smart and has talents and knowledge far beyond what a human should. But he's got grey DNA in him. So yeah, I have three more like that. And then the last one, the last child was only 10. And in between there's, okay, well, there's that one on Earth. And then there's Claire, who's 23. And then there's Jude, who's 16, Heath, who's 10. And then Claire has had a baby with another grey hybrid on the ship called Amelia. That baby is 18 months old. When Claire was pregnant, it all hotted up. And I had ridiculous number of visits. Now, I know this is going out to the world, but I live in a spot that is a known UFO hotspot anyway. I live in a triangle between Rumbalara Mountain, which has a Telstra tower on it, Brisbane Waters, which has had many, many recorded sightings of UFOs going in and out of the water there, and an alleged secret army base, which is not secret because everyone knows where it is. So I just attributed to I must be living in this great spot. I can see the water from my front veranda, so that's what I thought it was. But no, far more than usual. And that then led to another event. So now I'll just go back while I'm on the mothership and explain a bit more to you. You asked about them, who they were. Well, I had all these questions. One while I was laying on the table, two while I was being shown around. And Graham said to me that their planet became extinct quite a long time ago. And they had to build a big artificial planet. So he said he's multi-generational born on this spaceship. So this spaceship, when I got shown around, was like a whole country inside. It was huge. It was absolutely huge. They had all the things that we have in a different form. So first of all, Graham opens the door and shows me where they live, because I had silly questions about did they wear clothes, did they have toothbrushes, stupid human. Can I take my eyebrow tweezers, you know, bizarre things. So he showed me a room and in we went. He did the same thing as they've done many times. He waved his hand in front of what appeared to be a wall. I could see no lines or joins in it, but suddenly a door slides open. We walk through the door and into this room. And On the far side is an oval window, and out there I can see stars like you've never seen here on Earth. It is beautiful in space, and I don't think I could possibly imagine that if I hadn't actually been there. It is just magnificent. So dark out there, light in the ship, but dark out there, and the stars are so clear, and there's so many of them, and there's colours, and it's silent. The first thing I noticed was the total absence of sound, not just in space, but in this ship, because they don't speak. They use telepathy. So just standing there, I thought, I can't hear anything. And it doesn't compare to silence on Earth. We always have this white noise in the background, don't we?
Mm.
We think there's always a bit of traffic or a cicada or a cat over here or something. No sound at all in this massive mothership. So, yeah, their planet died. It's so interwoven, it's not funny. I mean, I have messages as well to give that relate to all this, but if I hadn't known all this first, I wouldn't have understood. So I'll have to do the same with you. I'll have to try and do it in sequence. So, yeah, it blew up. It just died off. They became extinct. And he just said, you know, just like the dinosaurs, it was just our number was up and it was time. But they managed to save enough of themselves on this massive spaceship, which is called Noah's Ark. Do you like that? And they kept breeding. But then after a number of generations on the spaceship, they became infertile. They could no longer breed for reasons they couldn't work out. So I guess their species was becoming extinct. Well, they had to do something about it. And they tried all the things that we now use for infertile women and men, like IVF and donors and surrogates. All came from that. Just, again, a deviation. When I was a student nurse at a major city hospital that is well known overseas for research, a bunch of professors sort of pulled me into their fold. I was like, 18, knew nothing, why me? You're an ordinary person. Because I had given blood and the blood profile, just donated blood, and my blood profile had come back as not right. So I was called up by these people and these doctors and they said, you've got the blood pathology of an astronaut. Which is kind of weird, don't you think? Because clearly I'm not an astronaut. Because astronauts' blood changes when they live in space. For example, you'll find the man that's on the space station now for 12 months will come back with a blood disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this. And then they said to me, the only other way this can be known, because clearly you're not an astronaut, is if you're an alien abductee. And they said it in the most normal fashion. In medical circles, it is not a surprise. It is not a secret. We know about it. So for my entire training, they kept me under their wing. They gave me a flat to rent. They answered all my questions. I had to answer their questions. They showed me research. And they outright said to me, IVF, fiber optics, laparoscopies, and a number of other things since have come from alien technology. So, you know, again, 30-something years ago, 33 years ago, we didn't know all that, didn't we? Mm. Okay. So, yeah, so when was I? Sorry. Before I went on that.
I'm just taking it in myself. You're sort of going into how we're going to, like, you're going to unveil this sort of how it was to you.
On the mothership and, you know, Graham's answering my questions and showing me all these things. And he said the planet became extinct and that's why they had to develop all these medical things. So these medical things that they developed, like the IVF that I just mentioned, that humans latched onto as well, were because they had to find ways of reproducing and continuing their species. They wanted to do this because a lot of their knowledge is stamped on their DNA and they needed to be able to pass it on biologically, not just technologically. So they had a lot of failures. They told me they lost a lot of babies in the first place and they found humans on Earth because we were biologically compatible with them. We may look different on the outside, but we're still compatible. In the way that perhaps a zebra and a horse are. Mm-hmm. They're not the same, but if we try hard enough, we can get hybrids. We've done that on Earth too. So it took a lot of work, a lot of dead babies, which upsets me enormously, but they got to the point where they would then start, and I don't think this started until maybe the 40s, maybe the 60s, but fairly recently in history on Earth, and they abducted human women and hypnotized them or did something to their memory so that when I asked, they wouldn't be traumatized. So I said, Graham, why can't we just remember? It'd be so much easier if we just remembered. And he said, because mostly the human psyche can't take it and they can't deal with it. They go crazy. We're not out to hurt you. We've studied you enough to know that it doesn't work that way. We need you to forget. or rather you need to forget. And I only remember so much because I'm begging and chucking tantrums. I want to know you've used me. I want to know what you've done with me. Why have you done it? So I'm very grateful that I got so many questions answered. So, yeah, their plant's extinct. They're dying off. They need to continue the species. So they start stealing human women and their eggs. They've done a lot of research in laboratories. Graham took me into a laboratory. That's clearly what it was to me. And there were people walking around, but it didn't look anything like a human laboratory. There were floating tables in the middle with no legs and people working around them. When I say people, I mean grey people. And they all looked up and acknowledged me as if they'd seen me before. And they don't smile, but you get the impression that they're smiling from the inside. And just went about their work. And Graham explained to me that the walls, which just had lines and lines and lines of very, very thin glass, were DNA from all over the universe. So humans, other planets, animals, plants. Again, we didn't know plants had DNA then, but they do. And so everything that they have researched and they're getting through the universe is stored on this spaceship. So it's a pretty big deal. Well, I think it is. I think it's really exciting.
Huge Noah's Ark.
Yeah, huge Noah's Ark. And that's why he kept saying to me, it's Noah's Ark. So it was Noah's Ark to them, but it's going to become Noah's Ark to us eventually. And here's me saying, but your technology is so cool and I'm so excited and it's so much fun. And he said, well, actually, it's quite archaic now, but we're still ahead of you. So anyway, so we left the lab and we went back. It's like a massive, it's like verandas going around and around and around and around. And if you look down from the veranda, there is a park in the middle. How's that for a surprise? Blew my mind. Grass, trees, seats. The trees are in pots. The grass might be artificial, but it's still a park. And the trees are trees grown from seeds on Earth. They're using Earth because our plants obviously give oxygen and they're trying to acclimatise to live on our planet. So, yeah, that was the first surprise park. Like, what's this doing here? Anyway, so, and then we step out off the veranda into what I can only call a pod. It reminds me of a Ferris wheel pod, you know, those glass pods?
Yeah, yep.
Futuristic. So it's completely clear. I don't know what it's made of. And it's docked into the veranda and it's with a door open and a floor. And you step in and a handlebar comes up and you hang onto the handlebar. And then you just, I'm thinking, I can't fly this. What am I supposed to do? And Graham says, think, follow me. So I discover I can fly it. So we're flying around the spaceship in these really cool pods. And I want to take one home. Now, when we get to where we want to go, and this time we were going to look at industry and you know how they were providing for themselves. We just dock into the veranda again, turn around, the handlebar goes down and we step off. So it just reverses. So, you know, and the door closes. So it's amazing.
And it's all done by thought.
Yeah, there is no sound. Mm-hmm. There is no mechanics. There are no obvious joins. There are no hinges or screws. It's just... it's quite bizarre to look at, but only because we're not used to it, I guess. But it's fun. It's really fun. Zooming around, I really want one. Let me bring one back. Anyway, so then I saw industry. So, you know, they make everything they need. My next question was about money. He said they don't have a monetary system, but everybody has a job. And if they don't do their job, the whole thing falls down and society has to work together. And it sounds like utopia to me, but it works. And I said, how does it work? Why don't you have crime? And he said, watch. So the next place we visit, we walk in and there's three 12-foot grey aliens in white robes. So I think talls and shorts are the same race. Mm-hmm. I think, and they live for hundreds of years and they keep growing. I think that's what it is too. Anyway, so these three tall, I want to call them elders or priests or judges or something of that description. And he said, this is why it works. You know, there are no second chances. We don't have any drugs or alcohol. We don't have any crime. And people behave or they're gone. And I think he meant dead. Okay, I'm not for the death penalty. But there's just, he said, they just don't do it. You know, we've gotten past that. So, and then I was shown another image while I was in that room. They thought project. It's the only way I can put it. Some, when I say that scan, that was a literal hologram, but a literal scan of what's there. And they do that a lot, but that can also show you what's in their mind and a picture in their head.
I call it thought transfer.
That'll do.
Yeah, no, I know exactly, and so many people experiences will know exactly what you're saying, but it's a great way that you're saying it for those that haven't experienced it.
Good. It's just, it blows my mind, and I've been doing it all my life. It's not a new concept to me. But I come back here and I look around and think, oh my God, I've gone back in time and it's so archaic on Earth. I see a plane and I think, you've got to be kidding me.
It's basically a firework, you know. It's just
we're so far behind. Anyway, so then I'm thought projected, shown this image, and apparently I agreed at some point when I became an adult. So I must have been, I think I was in my early 20s, but I was definitely over 18. And there was another human man there, and I know who that human man is on Earth, and he knows all this. It's not new to him. He doesn't remember the details I do, but he knows he's an abductee and he's got hybrid children. So, you know, it's pretty obvious it's the same person to me. So that man and I stood in front of the three elders with Graham to our left. So I'm here, this person's here. I'll just call him the human father. And Graham's there, and there's the three elders there. So that's four witnesses and two humans. And their legal system, and we agreed to have a contract or a marriage, but a mate, they called it mating. I hate that, but yeah. They did. So we agreed to this contract, and after that, we had sex. And that's when the first baby came. So, and that has gone on all of my life, never on Earth. I've met him a couple of times on Earth, know who he is, but there's none of that going on Earth,
yep.
Just in the spaceship. So anyway, so that's their legal system, and they don't do any of this without consent. Granted, they took me from a baby without my consent, but when your parents took you somewhere in the car as a two-year-old, did you consent? No, you just followed them, didn't you, trustingly. So it was no different to that. So when I hear people saying abduction, I think not really, not really at all. The only thing I wouldn't have chosen is I wouldn't have let my babies go. But as Graham says to me, they wouldn't have survived on Earth.
Well, that's what I've had explained to me, and that's where I've sort of, you know, I was really upset for quite some time, and I came to the same conclusion, was that their intelligence and how they work and operate is far beyond, you know, it'd be like, yeah. I'm the frigging child because
that's right.
Where they're exactly. at.
Yeah.
Have they said anything to you? Because I'm learning a lot from you, because it is a different race of, you know, that we're dealing with different types of beings. But this is where all things are interconnected. But have they said anything, or was there ever any mention of anything on a soul level in terms of maybe you were once, or a facet of you has been them, and then you've incarnated here?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked me that question, because I get that a lot. And no, it's not like that. I'm not going to negate other people's experiences.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, because I'm learning from you, because I'm not hearing any of this. And that's why this is great.
You're like different.
Yeah.
No, I did ask those questions. I stood there with Graham on the mothership and said, okay, now I've got this question, and it's about spirituality. Okay, yes, they have a body and a soul just like we do. Okay, that soul lives forever, just like ours does. They have the same God as we do. It's no different. I personally don't believe in reincarnation. Again, not to knock anybody else's beliefs. I believe we get one chance at it, and then it's heaven, hell, or stuck in between. I'm just terribly simplistic, but just for the sake of this interview. So I asked him about reincarnation, all of those things, and he said, no, everything is stamped on your DNA, including your ancestors' memories. Mm-hmm. These experiences that people are having, and I have had them too, that may well appear to be that to a human, are you remembering your ancestors' life? That's what he said to me. And then it turns out, then he explains to me that it is actually his DNA, I said this earlier, that's in me and all of my children. It's in me because my father was an abductee, so I've inherited it through the normal sperm-ovum connection. Then they've removed me from my mother's fetus, my mother's uterus without her memory or knowledge and spliced in more DNA, and that is the same bloke that is still Graham. So my family are one of Graham's experiments. But we are
so this is where you'd be going into what we may term epigenetics, where your ancestors' memories and everything that's in them is installed in your DNA. It's all coded into it.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. Yep. That's the way I see it. And that's also the way it was explained to me. Because, you know, I too many years ago wondered about reincarnation, but I've learnt along the way. I believe in the Christian version. That's important for me to say that. But I've still wondered about all these things, which I think is healthy. And I've had a lot of questions answered because I've said, but what about this? And but what about that? And the other explanation is they're all psychic. It is normal for them. For us, it's the minority of humans. I know I'm not alone. I know you're not alone, but we're in the minority, really. Mm-hmm. So for them, it's normal. So you can also pick up someone that's stuck in the middle as a ghost's memories because you're psychic. And if you're part grey, you're going to be extra psychic. So, you know, that's the other explanation for thinking you've had a reincarnation experience. That ghost is telling you about what happened to them and you can feel it as if it's firsthand. You know what I'm talking about, yeah. Don't you? Yeah, because I do that too. So, you know, I've had the same questions, which is great because I've asked Graham the same questions. So, no, they don't reincarnate. What he said to me is, I really want you, Jane, to clear up some of these myths and misconceptions and rumours about us that are going around because it just rot. So I know I'm standing up here saying different things, but the truth is the truth. So no, they're not us in the future. It's not a time-travelling thing. I've experienced time travel. That's another subject, another interview. We're not reincarnated as them. We do have a soul connection. Absolutely we do. We are all interconnected. That's true in every possible way. And other races are the same. They just have different bodies, but they have the same souls. So we can hear and see and feel each other's souls, particularly if we've got grey blood in us. I'm sure there are other aliens that do it, but I can only talk about this race, really. And I can remember Graham's life because he's shown me. I can remember another thing that used to happen to me as a child regularly was I'd remember I'd see ghosts and I could name them. I could tell you about their life, where they lived, everything about them. Now, that could be reincarnation. But when I was an adult, a relative that hadn't been around turned up with some photos and I said, that's Grace, that's Henry. And he's going, no, they were dead before you were born. You've never met them, known them all my life. Okay, so I have their DNA, their human DNA in me, and I remember their lives, plus I'm psychic so I can hear them as ghosts. And those two in particular have been stuck as ghosts. Not in that good or bad place. For whatever reason. I mean, I'm not God. That's not up to me. Anyway, so... they're exactly like us. And the other way I could describe the soul body thing is, remember, and I hate to say this again, but when black people used to be thought of as monkeys, as disgusting as that is to even say out loud, well, people still think aliens are different. No, they're not. Black people have souls, they're exactly the same as us. We all bleed the same. We're all the same on the inside. We're now all intermarry and interbreed, but we didn't only a couple of generations ago. Of course we should. And it's the same with them. So... they're people. They look different. Graham looks as different to me. I see Graham in myself. When I was a baby, I looked a bit like him, and at times I can still look a bit like him. But he looks, for the average person, as different to me as an Asian woman or a black man. That's all.
So would you have his memories and stuff and what he's doing, some of that imparted in you because of the genetics?
Yes.
So are you able to tap into that besides the psychic side of things? Because you can get this information yourself, as you know, once you sort of wake up and you hone into these abilities. But would you be able to, like, you've got, you know, his memories basically then?
Probably and possibly are the only words I can give you. I've done it physically. Yeah. I haven't gone into another realm. I do believe there are other realms and other dimensions, all of those things, but that's not what I did. Yeah. My physical body was taken from my physical bed into a physical spaceship, a smaller one that then flies into the bigger one. And I was physically walking around the spaceship or flying around in the pods, talking telepathically and seeing these things with my physical eyes, which is different to my spiritual eyes. So, no, it was none of those things. They're people. They're my, well, that one's my relative, and I've now met others that I'm related to, but I'm still human. Yeah. I just have grey DNA in me, as you may have. Well, I've also got Celtic DNA in me. So, you know, I've got, and we've probably all got different races in us. I mean, let's face it, they found the first day Adam and Eve were black. Yay. So, you and I, obviously Anglo-Saxon, probably have black blood in us. And, well, I know I have grey DNA. You might too. I don't know. So it's just a mix. Just people, just look different, and that's really important. Different culture. Different way of communicating, but they still love. Mm. You know, I hear people say, and again, I'm referring to what I saw on the mothership, that they're autistic and that maybe autism comes from them. Although I know medically autism is a brain disorder, I get why that rumour started. Because if you didn't know a grey person and they were standing in front of you, they would appear to have no emotion, no facial expression, no body language, and no understanding of love. But once you know them, it's completely the opposite. So Graham, he'll hug me because he knows I'm human and I like hugs. And he's learnt from watching humans. And he, his love is enormous and it's so clear. You know, humans try and hide their love. They can't hide their love because they're projecting telepathically through their heart and their brain. When I hear Graham speak, I hear it in my own language. I don't hear an accent, and I often use colloquial words. He seems to use them too. So I understand what he's saying. But in the background, as a kind of white noise, I can hear... It's not even close. I do not think that I can replicate it with my voice box at all, but I hear something, and I think he's translating from his language. So I think his name is kind of like Chusky, kind of. You know, like it's really not right, but it's just the very best I can do. So that's why he got Graham. And he, now you laughed. He did too. Because I actually said to him, let's go for Graham. Let's find a nickname.
Make it easier. Yes. And that does suit.
Yeah. And he laughs. And when he laughs, his face, he kind of just goes, it's only just a smile because he's had to learn that from humans. And his whole body shakes as if he's having a fit. And then I burst out laughing and then he laughs harder and that's just the end of the two of us. So he certainly has a humour, a sense of humour. And he laughs all the time. He says, you think the most ridiculous things, Jane. And I go, whoops, forgot you could hear me. So he's got a personality, believe me. And you know, a completely different personality to mine. We have things in common, but we're clearly different people. I love this man like I would love a grandfather. You know, completely appropriately and completely familial type of love. There was never any kind of romantic bond. He's an old man, and I was a little girl, and even though I'm an adult now, he's still a lot older than me. So, yeah, completely appropriate, not violating, not abducting, not anything other than going off to visit someone that I love. So, anyway, he also showed me that the reason that the same thing is going to happen to our planet. Okay, I've written a story about this, so I won't go too far into it, but I will send you the story. Mm-hmm. I think people should read the book before they get the whole of this story, or it'll just kind of ruin it for them. But yes, our planet is going to become extinct at some time, and they've got a disaster plan, if you will. And people like me, and I have met others. A woman in particular who gives public speaking, you know, I don't think names are appropriate. We recognised each other from the spaceship and we both have very similar memories. So we've been trained and I think it's quite interesting that I'm an emergency nurse, don't you? So, yeah, we've been trained to do it. Now, it might not happen in my lifetime. It's not a definite, but they're ready for it. Remind me to send you that email, okay? Yeah. So I'll send you that story, yeah. But that's part two of why this Noah's Ark mothership, which was for them to save their planet, is going to become ours as well. So,
don't ask me for that. Like, NASA's, I even saw a documentary a few years ago my father had, and NASA's, you know, designing blueprints or working on huge, huge spacecrafts because one day, you know, Earth's time's up. So this is where this is going to happen. Now, whether it happens sooner or later and the other circumstances, what this race that you know that we don't know, you know, these are where things are, it's, you know, science fact or science fiction, you know, these things are very much overlapping now. So what you're saying is not too far out.
Well, no, it isn't. And which is amazing as I'm saying it out loud, feeling uncomfortable because I've had a lifetime of not wanting to say it out loud. That's what it is. I realise that it doesn't sound so strange now, but 30 something years ago it did. Mm. I have close friends who know this story, who have always known this story. It's not a new story. I'm just now coming out to the public. I must say that my family don't believe in life on other planets at all, which is a bit of a problem. And part of the reason I'm writing this book is because I adore my earthly children and granddaughter, but I feel exactly the same way about the ones in space. And I feel that denying them is just not right. And I need to acknowledge that they exist whether people want to believe it or not. I've asked Graham why they can't come and stay with me for a couple of weeks, or I can't go up there and stay for a couple of weeks. And Graham says, two reasons. They won't live, survive here, and you won't survive there. Look how sick you go when you go back after only a short time. And I am, every visit. I'm really sick the next day. It's just, I wake up and go, oh no, space sick again. Really. So I get it.
Is it almost like a hungover feeling?
Well, I vomit and I have a migraine, which I mean, migraines have other explanations, but that's not the point. I vomit every time and I feel, it feels like, as a child, I got car sick, so it feels like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a bug and it only lasts a few hours. Mm-hmm. So I know it's from, it also feels like coming out of an anaesthetic if you've ever had an operation on Earth. Some people handle it better than others. I don't handle any kind of drugs particularly well. So I know they've given me a drug because it makes me so ill. So he's right, I wouldn't make it. The time I went to 15 hours, it took me about 3 weeks to fully recover. And obviously they can come here long enough to pick us up and they can breathe here, but not for long. They have to take us up there. All right. So they're people, they've got a soul and their spirituality is the same as ours. They did tell me that they have seen all the Earth's events, the crucifixion of Jesus. They just said they were there. I know this is going to hang me because I'm Catholic, but I think that... The truth, I think that maybe the Star of David was a spaceship guiding them. I don't think Jesus is an alien. I think he's exactly who he says he was. And Grant says he agrees. But I do think that they were there and that saw it all. I've also been shown some of and told that they've recorded all sorts of things in human history on video, like this that we're doing now. Now, when I went up there throughout my life and kept meeting with this same human man, they would record us together. The very first meeting, he's 6 years younger than me, so the first meeting I was about 7.5 or 8 and he was about 1.5 or 2 and I remember that like yesterday. And we just didn't say anything, held hands and ran around like little kids giggling and being silly because the spaceship's a nice circle room, so it's a really good track. And then I saw him every time. Now, that was recorded because Graham was able to show me on a video. Now, I've heard people say that's false memories. Well, no, because I actually remember, but I've also seen it on a video. And he said, I've just filmed you. I didn't make it up. You did it. I go, yeah, because I remember. So some things stick in my head and they just won't leave and they're perfectly clear memories to the point of ridiculous. But I'm sure there's a lot also that I don't remember. However, what I remember makes enough sense to me. So what else can I tell you about their race? They don't have music. And they don't have colour because they don't hear and because they're in the dark and the sun reflects colours, doesn't it? And I noticed that because I particularly love colour. I'm an artist of sorts and I'm not good at form, but I'm great at colour. And I said to him, where's all the colour? Why is it just no colour? It's just silver and white and variations of the same. And he said, but it wasn't like a black and white film. Like I could see my own skin. He said to me, well, we can't really see colour, so what would the point be? We understand you like it and it's beautiful on Earth, but we can't see it, so it's not here on our mothership. And over many generations, they've also lost that appreciation of anything like that because then they were once out there on a planet with a sun. Now they're in a spaceship with artificial light. Now, it's very dark in there for me. I've found over the years I prefer the dark as a human being. I like lamps rather than overhead lights. I can't stand fluorescent lights. I'm photophobic and that I need sunnies outside. We all do, but I particularly do. And I think that's my experiences up there and my grey DNA. But for them, they do have these great big eyes and they are beautiful, beautiful things. Cow eyes is the absolute best description I can ever give you. They look like cows, only bigger, you know, their eyes, not the body. And they do have an iris and a white and a pupil, but the pupil is so big and the iris is so dark brown that unless you look closely, it would appear all black, but it's not actually. So that's because they live in the dark. So if they had it really bright, their eyes couldn't cope. The other reason they rarely visit Earth during the day is because they can't cope with the light or the sun. So I guess they're nocturnal creatures. Perhaps they weren't on their own planet, but they are now. The music thing, what would be the point? When they don't have sound, it would hurt their ears. They've got holes, but they're not like our ears. Seeing as they speak and communicate, because communicating is not just speaking, of course, it's projection of emotions as well, telepathically. Why would they want music? So they were two questions they asked about their culture. That's a bit sad, really, but it's also why they like to study humans and why we're so strange to them. We have so many cultural differences that just blow their mind and they want to learn from us. Now, about those cultural differences, I asked Graham why I was there and why he took my babies and you know, apart from their race needing it. And he said, well, we want you, and there are other women like you, but your particular job is to teach the babies how to be human. So I visited the creche, if you will, or the school a lot of times. And I have an IQ, which probably came from them, but that's not the point. They want me to teach kids to hug, to smile. What's a book? What's a tree? What's funny? What's, you know, why do we laugh? You know, that's a strange request. It's like a waste of my intellect, but it's not. It's what they need from me. And I feel privileged to have that job. So I'm a mother and a grandmother in space and a mother and a grandmother on Earth. That's not so bad.
No.
So, okay, it would be great if they didn't steal our eggs and our babies, but there is a purpose to it. And I'm as much related to them as I am to humans. And I know their culture. I grew up biculturally. I speak biculturally. My granddaughter and I have whole conversations telepathically. We might just throw in the odd word or phrase, and people in the room, this happens regularly, look at us and go, what the? And we both knew exactly what the other one was saying. And I've then stood there and said, well, I just said this and she just said that. And she said, yeah, that's right. So she does it too, but she too sees UFOs and has memories. Not as far down the track as me, but she knows far too much, and I haven't told her, she's told me.
So you've got some kids down here and then some are on the craft,
yep,
up wherever as well. So it's, you know, a bit of a mixture.
Yeah. I have three kids and a granddaughter up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Claire's husband, who is also a grey hybrid. They all look quite human. They do look like they would stand out on Earth, but they look human enough. And his name is Gabriel. So I consider him part of my family too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's Claire, Jude, Heath, and baby Amelia. And then here I have two children and a grandchild who's, wouldn't be hard to find out, but I don't want to say their names.
So it sounds like, even though everyone's journey is their own journey, it sounds like you've had it a bit easier than other people in your shoes, in terms of you sort of had an idea of, you know, what was going on and how it was happening, where there's other people out there, like you said, they don't get the memory or the recall, because you get pissed off up there wanting to know. You want to know what's going on.
And I demand answers.
Yeah. So that's where there's that difference.
Yes. And you're not the first person to say to me, you've had it easier than most.
No, this isn't trying to bag you either, but yeah.
But I want to respond to it that way. I haven't. I just have particularly good coping skills and I ask a lot of questions. Plus, I was fortunate that I had the medical knowledge to understand, even though it was a foreign concept, to understand what they were doing to me. It wasn't bits of metal being stuck in me, but medical procedures, and I think that helped me cope. By the way, Graham told me I had to be an emergency nurse at 3. So that must have been part of... I chose to do it. Mm-hmm. I was not forced into anything. It's what I wanted to do, but clearly it was part of my path, my destiny, if you will. Where I am more fortunate than most is I had Graham. And that man had an awful lot of human qualities and an awful lot of love in him. And I am very grateful that I have such a good relationship with him. So instead of being my captor, he was my grandfather and my friend, and there was genuine love between us. And whenever Graham would turn up, I'd go, sure, take me. So there was no kicking and screaming. I only remember one time I was afraid, and it was around the time of my 8th birthday, which seems to be a point. Maybe it's when they start taking our eggs, I don't know, but it does seem to be an age that there's a common thread with other people. Anyway, and that time when he took me up, I knew he was coming. I always have this pre-aware state and I couldn't go to sleep. Remember, I was only a child. And I felt frightened, but I also felt like I wanted to see him. And I remember hearing a possum outside the window and thinking, was that him? And no, that wasn't him. And then I went to sleep like a child does. And then I woke up in the middle of the tunnel, in the middle of the air above my bed before the ceiling, and I screamed and called out for my mother and tried to move, and not a sound came out of me, and I couldn't move, and I was terrified. It's the only time. And then I heard telepathically a man's voice saying, she's not supposed to wake up. And then I just saw blackness again. And then, well, I actually don't remember any more of that visit. So I wasn't supposed to wake up. And I have been traumatized and I have been through grief. And every baby, I can prove I was pregnant on Earth. I can prove that I had, without grossing you out, retained products, but no fetus. I would have a fetus on an ultrasound one day and then it wouldn't be there the next, but there was no baby to find. You know, I had D&Cs. I can prove this. I had positive pregnancy tests, blood tests, and they all correlate exactly with the children on the spaceship. So I remember every single time and I grieved every time. And the first two times I thought they were dead. I didn't understand why there was no fetus, but I thought they were dead. And I went through all of that. And it goes for years, you know, losing a child, and I still grieve for them. Now my oldest child lives overseas because he's an adult and he works overseas. And I see him often, but I miss him. And my granddaughter has said to me, it's just like that, isn't it? They're just somewhere else. I said, well, it is really. And every now and then I cry for them. Don't you worry. I think that's just not fair. I want to be with them. Let me go up there and live there for a while. And then I realize I can't, blah, blah, blah. So it's not that it's not the grief or the trauma aren't there. They are.
Oh, definitely.
But I have worked through it in a sensible, logical fashion. And because I had Graham to help me, the world is an easier place.
Yeah.
Having said that, always had some memories, always had repeated dreams, always saw spaceships, always knew something was going on, always knew about the pregnancies. I have also been regressed twice by a well-known Sydney woman who I'm very happy with. So it's not too hard to find out who she is. And I didn't come up with new information, but I did come up with clearer details of seeing it. So that also helped me to confirm what I already knew. Plus, I did things like write it down, and this might help other people. Years ago, every time I'd remember something, I'd write it in an exercise book and I'd time and date it, and I'd give that exercise book to a trusted girlfriend so that I could check back later. So, you know, I've done certain things to keep my sanity about it. I expect to be labelled as cuckoo right now by my family when and if they ever see this. Go ahead. I've got no psych history, no drug history, and I can prove the pregnancies and I can prove a lot of other things. I've got an implant. One of my children had an implant which showed up on a scan. At one point, I mentioned those professors at this particular hospital. I'm hesitating because there are legal reasons I can't say names. So I wanted to blurt it out, and if you're in the room, I would. But because we're on air, I have to stop. No, Jane, don't say that. So three of those doctors were, in fact, murdered, and I was tracked. I was followed, and I'd report the – this is years ago now, but my children were little, and it's also why I didn't come out till now. I'd report it to police, and they'd say, sorry, that number's plate's registered to a PI. Bad luck. We can't do anything for you. Go away. Someone tried to kidnap my children. Police wouldn't help. They got away. One night, the implant that I had beneath my left knee – kept coming to the surface because the body kept rejecting it. And I knelt down to get something under a bed and it got caught on the carpet and pulled out. And I'd always thought it was just a piece of gravel or glass or something from a childhood injury. I was in my 30s and I looked at it and it looked like, best I can give you is quartz that telescopes. So it was a tiny dot, but it pulled out to telescope. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I threw it away. You just do these things. But what is this? Anyway, that very same night my implant came out, somebody tried to break into my house and my dog wouldn't stop barking. You would think that was the reason. But I went up the back and looked out the double glass doors and I could see this great big ball of round light in my backyard. It looked like a full moon only right in front of you. So I actually said, hi, guys, and went back to bed. Hi, aliens. Because they put me to sleep. It was like, don't come out here, don't come out here. And I went back to sleep without even checking on my children, which is something I do by habit. So I knew I was being artificially put back to sleep. And then the next day at 10 to 9 on the radio, and it was a Monday morning. See, some things stick in your mind in every minute detail because it's just so shocking out there. Anyway, the radio announcer on the local radio station, and again, this is something I could prove, said that the night before in my street behind my house, there had been a human man found mutilated, like cattle mutilations, and it looked like he'd been sliced open with a laser, and there was no organs and no blood, not a drop of blood anywhere. So the second I get to work, I ring the radio station. He said, nope, story's been pulled, we're not allowed to talk to you, bang. So I ring the police and say, I can tell you something about that. Nope, we don't want to know about it, we already know, bang. Well, what Graham told me later is that that man was breaking in to kill me because of the others being killed in the medical research. There is, again, there is. If I went to a high court and had a lawyer, I could prove every word of this. But, you know, I've got to be terribly careful what I say here. So, yeah, Graham said the man was going to kill me because of that. Now, I'd also then had my phone checked out because it sounded like I'd been bugged, and Telstra, the Telstra man, actually showed me where a bug had been fitted. And when I said to him, will you put that in writing, he said, no way. That's why I'm showing you, so you understand what's gone on. So everything I've said is backed up by some sort of proof. Clearly I wasn't murdered, but I told a dear friend, an educated man who's a lawyer, and he said, tell everybody you know so you're not the only one, and put it down, do nothing, do not write, do not continue the medical research, do nothing. So I didn't, till about 3 years ago, when Claire was pregnant. Claire is that girl up, in space, and she wanted her mother and her father, and so she just kept visiting and hassling and doing all sorts of things until she got me. Her father wouldn't visit because he was too freaked out. I can't do anything about that. That's his story, his journey. I think he'll come out one day. I even had, like, I was standing on my front veranda one night. I always feel called out. So I'm inside and I feel there's a spaceship out there, and I go out in the backyard and I see it. Well, this particular day, a red ball, only about that big, came down right in front of my face. And my jaw dropped. My jaw never drops. I just look at it and go, wow, hi guys, again, I know who you are. And this, what is this? I felt like it was a remote control camera and they were watching me from somewhere else. And I actually felt like it was Claire. She actually told me it was her. So, shortly after that, I went up to visit the babies. So there's so much more, I wouldn't be writing a book, but that's an overview. Any more questions?
No, not at the moment. Look, we'll wrap it up there in a minute. Just for the ladies out there that are watching that have had missing, babies and all that sort of thing, is there sort of any advice that you, being somebody that's gone through it, even for help, what could you say to these ladies out there just to help them in some way?
Yes, I can. Believe your own thoughts, because you don't. You doubt and you think it's not possible. No matter what doctors say to you, believe it. Know that that child is alive and well and in space and being cared for. And if it's anything like Graham, he brought those children up exactly as I would have done. They are healthy and alive and beautiful. I've now got this incredible buzz, which I get when it's truth, psychically I get this buzz. So believe yourself and know that your babies are okay. And if you ask, they'll let you meet them. You just have to want to. Remember that they wipe our memory for our own protection, not theirs, and that everything is recorded on film. And if you do want to know, you can know. Because I only know as much as I know because I demanded it. But I didn't. I joke and say I chucked a tanty. I didn't really. I just was very assertive and I will have those children. I will meet those children. So, try it, girls. Because they're nice people. And I met a lot of Greys on the spaceship, a lot, not just Graham. So he's not the only one I've met. And they were all beautiful people. They were all kind and gentle and loving. And they all had different personalities like humans do. But as a race, there was nothing aggressive or violent or cruel about them. Don't be afraid. Ask. Remember that they're still people and that your babies are not monsters. They're just hybrids or half castes, and imagine them as half black, half white. Who cares? We don't care today. But, our ancestors did, didn't they? Because they didn't get it. It's no different to that. They're still people. When I met and hugged my beautiful hybrid children and touched their skin, apart from being cooler, smaller, slower breathing and speaking telepathically, they were just people. I felt my feeling for them cannot be imagined. It felt exactly like my own children on Earth, because they are my own children. And it blew my mind. When you've got your own kids, you feel you can love all kids, but you feel differently about yours. When I met these, they were not just kids that I thought were cute. They were mine, and I knew it. So don't suffer. Don't, you know, don't grieve. Ask to see them and then you'll stop grieving. Ask to understand. Ask the same questions I have. If you get questions from this, you're very welcome to write to me. And well, I will do my best.
There'll be a link to your Facebook under this video in the description part, or where people download the audio version of this, so they'll be able to, you know, get in contact that way if they wish to do so.
Well, I think my little mission is to help other women. I've spoken to quite a few that have been through this online now already, and we're helping each other. They think I'm helping them, but they're helping me too. It is also this disaster plan for the prospective impending doom of the end of the world that I am part of, and so are my children and grandchildren. So it keeps on going. If it doesn't happen in the next three generations, then the next ones will be prepared. So there is a plan, and the human race will go on. I will definitely send you that article, and I might even make that something you can send out. It's a chapter of the book, but I think it's an important message. It is about... I'm also an educator. I'm a nurse educator, so I think it's about educating people. I can do better than this, but this is such an emotional issue for me. I, you know, stutter and stumble. I can speak professionally quite well, but it is heartbreaking, and if I really stop, I will just cry.
No, I get it. Out of any people, like I do get that side of things, so I understand. And look, thank you for sharing this, and thank you for having the courage over all this time to come forward now, and you've explained why, and I see, you know, the reason is valid, and, you know, again, this is your journey, and I appreciate you sharing your journey so far with us, what you have, and I'm sure a lot of other people will, you know, take this in, and, you know, they're grateful too.
I'm grateful to you for facilitating it, and I think that you're doing a very important and worthwhile job.
Thank you very much. We'll wrap it up there, and we'll stay in contact.
We will. Thanks, Pete. Lovely.